Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
15-minute mark on The Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. A great summer Friday as we roll into Yinzer Palooza at PNC Park, where Wiz Khalifa will get baked and throw out the first pitch. And they'll give away a Wiz Khalifa bobblehead, which is very much in demand. And then we'll watch the Pirates play the Phillies. And I am right next door at Mike's Beer Bar, across the street from the Willie Stargell statue, the place to be before games. Clemente Bridge, you walk past it, it's on the right. And this area here outside of the ballpark is packed, it is electric, it is fun. This spot, Mike's Beer Bar, it is bipartisan. A lot of Buccos fans, also a lot of Phillies fans, which kind of gets on my nerves as we start this series against a team that back in the 70s, when our old men, our pops, our dads were watching games, this was it. This was the big rivalry, Pirates and Phillies in the NL East in the mid-70s and late 70s. These two teams hated each other, played every year, competing and duking it out for the NL East. And now really no longer rivals, because they don't play much. And the Phillies are in the NL East and we're in the NL Central. So when these Philly hooligans, when these Neanderthals drive across the state to see us, there's really not a big rivalry anymore. There obviously is when the when the Penguins play the Flyers. We can't stand them. And we've been dunking on the Flyers really for 50 years, with the exception of a few years there in the late 80s. When the Flyers were good again with Ron Hextall, who tried to, as a Trojan horse, bury the Penguins franchise and run it into the ground. For the most part, the Penguins have got the last laugh on Flyers fans. That is one of the things I do want to talk about here. Mulzi's off. He's actually tailgating right now, so if you see a man with a bald head that is gigantic as you walk around here outside of PNC Park, it might be Mulzi. Go over and have a beer with him. He'll probably offer you up one and allow you to shotgun one with him. But that is one of the things I did want to talk about leading into Open Phone Friday at 5:15, where you can call in and talk about whatever you want. 412-928-9370. Get in queue. Do we as Pittsburgh sports fans, do we hate Philly sports fans, or do we just hate Flyers fans? At 412-928-9370. Do we hate all of them? Do we hate any Philly fan for their really barbaric behavior and the way that they are very, very, really, they can be threatening. Yeah, they can be very intimidating. And I heard horror stories from fans going to games, Penguins and Flyers. Does that extend to the whole lot of them, or is it strictly a hockey rivalry with Philadelphia? 412-928-9370. I've lived here since 2010, and I struggle with that one all these years, because Pirates-Phillies doesn't seem like a rivalry at all, and the Steelers and Eagles don't play enough for that to be a rivalry either. So if you have a thought on our brethren to the east, 412-928-9370, we are surrounded by them here at Mike's Beer Bar, and no fights have broken loose. No one has been, no Phillies fans have tried any cheap stuff here and tried to punch anybody out, sucker punch or anything like that, which is good. They've been, by their standards, very well behaved since we showed up here at Mike, which is good, because Mike does run a very classy establishment. 412-928-9370. If you'd like to comment on that. Pirates and Phillies tonight is obviously a big series. No Skeens, no Mitch Keller. My opinion on that is I actually do trust the Pirates on pitching because they've done so well with pitching this year. They've pushed all the right buttons for the most part in terms of who should start and who should not, how long a guy should be in the minor leagues. Bailey Falter, Jared Jones, Paul Skeens, they've gotten those things right. Keep Bednar in the closer's role. Do not elevate Aroldis Chapman early in the year. That was a hot-button topic. So if they want to tell me that Keller needs extra rest, although when Greg Brown was here talking about dead arm with Mitch Keller, that scared the hell out of me because you're already down Jared Jones until September. If all of a sudden Mitch Keller isn't right, then that is a scary proposition for a team that is 500 in just a game and a half out of a playoff spot. They need Mitch Keller to be really good in the second half of the season for that to happen. We'll see if we can get more intel from Dan Zangrilli when he comes on at 5:30, our Pirates insider and Pirates pre- and post-game host. Albert Bell, you remember him from the Indians back in the day, the great slugger Albert Bell, was on Brett Boone's podcast, and Albert Bell said that the Pirates should be criticized for keeping Paul Skeens in the minor leagues for as long as they did, and had Paul Skeens started the season with the Pirates, they would be in a playoff spot. And he thinks we should be ripping the Pirates for that. Do you agree or disagree at 412-928-9370? I think Albert Bell is right that if Skeens had been here since March, the Pirates would be in a playoff spot. But I also disagree with him on this. I don't think the Pirates should be ripped to shreds for it. I don't think they should be annihilated or crucified or called out for it. I have a hard time criticizing someone or something that literally everybody in the league would have done. If it's a universal opinion or universal approach to something, if everybody does it one way, then I have a hard time calling out a team or calling out an entity for not doing it differently. Because I am convinced that every team in Major League Baseball, the Dodgers and Yankees included, would have made Paul Skeens start this play because he really had not pitched in AAA yet. And when he was called up, I think the stat was something like only one player in the last 30 years was the number one pick and had gotten to the big leagues faster or sooner than Paul Skeens. So when the guy got called up by the Pirates and in 11 starts, he was good enough to make an all-star game. And we've got people saying things like Jeff Passan that Paul Skeens very well could win the Cy Young Award. It's difficult for me to take umbrage or call them out for the way they've handled it. Paul Skeens has been the best pitcher in baseball since his arrival here. Yes, I do think he would have pitched well in March and April. But at the same time, they don't want his innings number to increase by like 100. That is the way baseball is done these days. I don't agree with that, but I'm watching a Cubs game right now. The Cubs did this with Chris Bryant, a hitter, a few years ago when they made him start the season in AAA, even though everybody thought he was big league ready. So if a big market team like the Cubs handles their prospects that way, then I'm not going to get on the Pirates for doing it basically the same way. 412-928-9370. If you want to call in on that. There is a juicy trade rumor this hour that I wanted to touch on. There is a rumor out of Baltimore that the Orioles are interested in David Bednar. Now, the Pirates need David Bednar to get them saves in order to make the playoffs, but at the same time, closers are kind of replaceable. They're fungible. We've seen guys like Joel Hanrahan, Jose Mesa, and Mike Williams make all-star games when the Pirates were not a playoff caliber team. Now, I do admit that if you subtract David Bednar off this team, it would decrease their chances of making the playoffs. But the Orioles, despite having one of the best records in baseball, they also have one of the best farm systems, and they are absolutely in win-now mode. And there is a rumor that the Orioles would be willing to part with one of the top 20 prospects in all of baseball. Not a top 20 prospect in the Orioles organization, but a top 20 prospect in the entire sport for David Bednar. And one of these guys happens to be a first baseman who's hit a ton of home runs at AAA this year. And, by the way, the Pirates, although Roddy Tellez has had a big bounce-back season in June and July, they have been a black hole at first base for a very, very long time. And apparently, according to this rumor, they would be willing to trade this prospect for David Bednar to help themselves win this year because they have questions about the back end of their bullpen. So I got to be honest with you, that is one of those very, very difficult calls because you would be sending mixed messages like, hey, we're decreasing our chances of winning now, but here is a player that could potentially help us for a very, very long time. And because it is such an elite prospect at a big position of need, I would actually be fine with the Pirates making a trade like that. And I know Bednar is from here, and his dad is a super good guy, and his mom is also salt of the earth, and they have family here, and he's one of us, and all that is great. But I think it's easier to find a closer than it is to find a power-hitting first baseman. And if the Orioles are so desperate to make a move like that, well, then guess what? That is something that I would do. So that is another topic here for Open Phone Friday, potentially at 412-928-9370. Jim Leland goes into the Hall of Fame on Sunday. I think that's tremendous. We've had Jim Leland on our show several times. He is also a great guy, and he is a humble guy and a modest guy, and even though he won a World Series in Florida and took the Tigers to a World Series and guided the Pirates through those three NL East winning seasons in 90, 91, 92, he does not big-time people, and still a great, very personable, very easy guy to talk to. And so I always get excited when we have Jim Leland on the shows. He goes into Cooperstown, into the Hall of Fame on Sunday. He'll go into the Pirates Hall of Fame later this year. Begs the question about the Hall of Fame. If you could get one former Pittsburgh athlete enshrined in a Hall of Fame today, someone who's not in, who deserves to be in, who would it be? At 412-928-9370. Barry Bonds is a very prickly individual. He did not always endear himself or ingratiate himself with fans, but he would be my pick. If I could get somebody from the past into the Hall of Fame, it would be Bonds, because, yes, I do think he did performance-enhancing drugs. That's very obvious. Look at the way his head grew in size from when he was in Pittsburgh to when he went to San Francisco and broke Hank Aaron's all-time home run record and became the home run king. But I also think that maybe not the majority, but I do think that the sport was overrun with guys who were doing steroids and performance-enhancing drugs and HGH and whatnot. So that did make it more of a level playing field. I do believe that there are guys that are already in the Hall of Fame who use performance-enhancing drugs, and therefore, I think at this point, we have to acknowledge that it was part of the era in which these guys played in. So I would let the best players from the steroid era into the Hall of Fame, whether that's Bonds, Clemens, McGuire, with all his home runs, bringing people back to baseball, you name it. And so Bonds would be my pick. I think it is actually really ridiculous and stupid to have a Hall of Fame where you claim that you honor the best players of all time, and yet the man with the most MVPs, and for my money, the best hitter I've ever seen, is not in. Great player pre-steroids, much better player after steroids. I would put him in. That would be my pick. Thank you. So that would be my call. There are other guys in baseball history and football history with the Steelers and Pirates and Penguins who are not in. And if you think there's somebody more deserving who should be in than Barry Bonds, you can, of course, call 412-928-9370 with Jim Leland going into the Hall of Fame. So we got a lot of things here on the docket live at Mike's Beer Bar. Pirates and Phillies and the questions running rampant about this team. One of the things that is on the table as well is it playoffs or bust for the Pirates in 2024 as we embark on the second half of the season? If they do not make the playoffs this year, how will you view their season? For me, I would say that if they finish with a winning record or finish 500, I will not throw the baby out with the bathwater and condemn them and come down on them and say, let's clean house and fire everybody. This has been a failure. It will not be a rousing success, but it'll be a good enough season where I will still feel pretty positive about the outlook of the franchise and the outlook of the team. So I would not want everyone fired. I would not view this season as a failure if they go 81-81 and they are exactly 500 right now. with 66 games to go. If they just keep this up and go 81-81, I'm not going to be ecstatic about the season, but I'm not going to deem it a failure either. Success is playoffs. Success is winning season. Not a success at 500, but also not a bad year. If they nearly match what they did last season, which is win 76 games, then I would say, yeah, let's make some significant changes here. Let's start with the hitting coach for sure. And I also think that Derek Shelton would be on the chopping block in that situation as well. 412-928-9370 is the phone number. We are inundated by TVs here at Mike's Beer Bar. Many of them are on the British Open, where Tiger Woods finished 14 over. I think Tiger Woods is done. I don't think he'll ever win another tournament in my lifetime. I think we've seen the best of Woods. I don't think he's going to have a miracle run at any tournament anytime soon. I do not take glee and delight in watching Tiger struggle, which Chris Muller, my friend Mulsey, likes to do, and even Donnie Football to some extent. So I wouldn't say I'm saddened by watching Tiger Woods not really be competitive at all. I mean, to be 14 over, he's one of the worst golfers in the first 2 days of the British Open. But at the same time, I am a little bit sad. I guess I am sad that era is over, because Tiger Woods brought people to golf. It would be like watching the very end of Mario Lemieux or Sidney Crosby's career, and watching them, you know, really struggle to get up and down the ice and put up very low point totals. Tiger has many reasons to not like him. Some things in his personal life. I don't think he was always the best guy in the world, but at the same time, I do think when he came back from all of his injuries, he seemed to have humbled himself. And when he won the Masters and had that moment with his son, I thought that was pretty cool and made me like him more. And I'm not an anti-Tiger guy like I used to be. So it actually bums me out that he is such a joke now at these major tournaments. So maybe you disagree with that Tiger still has a big tournament in him. I would say he does not, though, at 412-928-9370. Everything is on the table here. Open Phone Friday coming up from 5:15 for the next 20 minutes or so. And then after that, Dan Zangrilli with a live report from PNC Park. He asked Derek Shelton why no Mitch Keller, why no Paul Skeens for this series against the Phillies. So we will get answers on that big topic before the show is done. Live at Mike's Beer Bar. It is loud here because people love this place before games, and we're always delighted to be included in all this fun.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you, and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I mean this from the heart. Let's get people in here on Open Phone Friday. If I had a dollar for every time we got a text during the show, why are you talking about this? Why are you discussing that? Well, here's your chance to talk about whatever you want with us. Laid out some topics. Your opportunity to weigh in comes right now at 412-928-9370. And by the way, schedule a heart screening today. Trust the nationally ranked experts at UPMC for your heart care. Again, that number is 412-928-9370. We've got 8 phone lines. Do we have people that want to talk about Pirates, Steelers, starting camp, you name it? So many things are available to you to chime in on. We went through a lot of them before last segment started. And let's get to it at 412-928-9370 right now before Zangrilli joins us. It is loud in here, so I will do my best to hear you when you call in. Starting with Sean in Aliquippa. Hello, Sean.
Hey, Pony.
Hey, Sean.
Couple for you on the bus. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, Pony. Couple quick ones on the Pirates. One, Albert Bell must have not done his prep work for whatever show he was on, because that's ridiculous. I think for a cynical fan base and for what we've been through as Pirates fans, the Pirates didn't let us down on how they handled Skeen. Second quick one here. I think if the Pirates can stay in contention for the season, even if they don't make a playoff run, it's still a win for us. I would have concerns, though, about Shelton and Andy Haynes going into next year. So I think they still need to evaluate that in the offseason.
What would be the record from the Pirates that would make you think, you know what, I'm not a big Shelton guy, but I'm fine with him coming back next year?
I think 80's the number that I'd be happy with. But I think if they can get to 500, then I'd take another year of Shelton. I'd give him one more chance with hopefully a bit more of a build-up roster in the offseason.
What kind of grade do you give Shelton as a manager so far in his career?
It's tough to grade him on a curve for the first couple years because of how bad those teams were. I think his management this year has been abysmal at times, to be quite honest.
How about Greg Brown said he thinks his bullpen? We had Brownie on. He said his bullpen management has been fantastic. I wanted to say, what games are you watching, Greg? He was praising his bullpen work.
I love Brownie, but I disagree with that. I think that some of the bullpen decisions have been head-scratchers at best.
Yes. Thank you, Sean. You get the spirit of Open Phone Friday. I appreciate you chiming in. Again, Albert Bell said that the Pirates would be in the playoffs had they started the season with Paul Skeens, and that the Pirates deserve to be called out and criticized for that. Do you agree with the former slugger at 412-928-9370? Sean says no. Albert Bell must have been out of his gourd when he made those comments. Next, we have Jeff in South Park who joins us, our number two fan. Hello, Jeff.
Now, I grew up in Northeast Ohio, and Albert Bell is a piece of human excrement.
Wow! Shots fired from Jeff.
Seriously, he is a jerk of the highest order. People complained about Bonds when he was here in Pittsburgh. Albert Bell was like Bonds when he was feeling surly, like times 10.
But sometimes the worst person on Twitter can make a good point. I was going to say, sometimes the worst person on Twitter can make a good point, even though you hate to agree with them. It sounds like you don't, Jeff.
I don't agree with him. No, the last caller was right. I mean, people maybe wanted to see Skeens up at the beginning of the year, but I think obviously they handled it just right. And also, happy belated birthday to little Stella.
Thank you, Jeff. I appreciate you saying that. Anything else you want to get off your gigantic chest?
You know what? You were mentioning the whole Philly fandom thing and if we hate them and if it's just a hockey rivalry. I actually have a very complicated relationship with Philadelphia. I would say, especially now that Pirates aren't really rivals with the Phillies anymore, I would say it is strictly just a hockey rivalry. And I hate the Flyers and I hate their fans. Although the meanest thing I ever heard anybody say about Sidney Crosby was actually from a Red Wings fan, believe it or not. But I hate the Flyers, I hate their fans, but not actually being on that side of the state, I actually do. I'm a Sixers fan for my NBA fix. So figure that one out. I think I would feel differently if I lived on the other side of the state, though. I moved away from Northeast Ohio because it was so horrible being in the belly of the beast there. By the way, Ohio State fans, they're the worst over in Ohio.
Well, Johnny the Barber is an Ohio State fan. Did you know that, Jeff? One of our top fans.
How could you not?
From our lunatic fringe contingency.
Yes, he is. Contingent. And he's definitely one of those lunatic Ohio State fans. Yes, unbearable, dude.
So it sounds like you have very little respect for him. Is that fair?
I met Johnny, and he could not have been nicer in person. The only thing I don't respect about him is that he's a huge Ohio State fan, because I can't stand Ohio State.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Let's go to now the actual Johnny the Barber. Hello, Johnny. Would you like to respond to what Jeff in South Park said?
Hey, Jeff. Jeff, everyone hates your face. No one wants to listen to you. Be quiet. So let's talk about something that's important, not Jeff. Okay, first
Hey, Johnny,
first,
by the way, how about yesterday? The guy seemed to get a big kick out of the butterscotch moonshine. What did you make of that?
What did they think of it?
They loved it. They got rave reviews. We were passing it around like a peace pipe.
I'll have to get you more and a peace pipe.
Yeah. I don't smoke anymore. I get too paranoid.
Me too. I only smoke when I cut your hair. But what I wanted to know is what I wanted to call everyone to know is Chris Mueller, he lied about his Oakmont score.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, I have people on the ground. That
have you done a thorough investigation?
Yes, I've literally talked to people on the ground that watched him taking mulligans and picking up the ball and throwing it.
Well, that's a big no-no there. That's grounds for a total ban from Oakmont,
yeah.
John. This is a very serious accusation.
I don't think he'll be welcome back.
You're making.
I don't think he'll
is that
be
right?
welcome back. And I wanted to know when is Chris going to play Sloss Boss at 2K25?
Oh.
To feel the wrath of Geno Tomlin. We're bringing it on. We're challenging him.
Now, what do you make of Jeff in South Park saying that Ohio State fans are losers and are complete a-holes?
Well, I mean, you know, him coming from, what, the DeVry Institute of Technology, you know, I know his football team's great.
Anything else?
O-H-I-O, Jeff.
Goodbye, Johnny. Yes. 412-928-9370. Some of the regulars making an appearance here on Open Phone Friday. You could be next at 412-928-9370. Don't be scared. There's no Mulsey. So you're not going to be attacked or ambushed on the air. Plenty of things to talk about. We have a couple minutes to go here before Dan Zangrilli gives us the skinny on what's going on with the Pirates going into this series against the Phillies. Dan demanded answers from Derek Shelton on why no Mitch Keller, no Paul Skenes for the series. He was holding the manager of the Pirates, his feet to the fire on this. He wanted to know what the heck was going on with their pitching rotation when we have to watch Martin Perez, who has not been a good investment by Ben Cherington. $8 million, really, to get pitching that you could get from pretty much anybody. I mean, his ERA is over 5. He's done really next to nothing. He's been really one of the few failures among their pitching staff this year. We will await with bated breath what Zangrilli has on that. You know, it's another question about what pitchers you'd be willing to give up in a trade here. And I got to be honest with you again, you have such great pitching depth. Guys like Ashcraft in the minor leagues. Bubba Chandler would not be off the table for me, depending on the type of prospect we're talking. These are guys I would be willing to move because, look, you get Oviedo back next year too. You already have Jones, Keller, and Skenes. They're not going anywhere. You got to love what you've seen from Luis Ortiz. Yeah, you're going to need more than 5 guys, but still, I think you got a chance here. I'm a little bit distracted because Malzy just walked in. Here is Steven in Virginia on Open Phone Friday. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Pony. How's it going?
I'm good, thank you.
So forgive me if this is a little off topic because I'm just getting in the car and listening, but I hear you talking a little bit about the Pittsburgh-Philly rivalry. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. All right. Is it a rivalry? Is it strictly Penguins-Flyers, or does it extend to all Philly teams?
Yeah, well, I'm a Penn State graduate. I'm from Pittsburgh, but whenever I went to Penn State...
Well, Chris Mueller is a Penn State graduate as well. Would you like to say hello to him?
Hello, Chris. Great guy. But a lot of my friends just so happen to be Philly guys, and I'm still in touch with a lot of them. We go to a Phillies Pirates game every year. Unfortunately, they're not able to come up for this series, but I went to Philly early in the year. And I'll just say those fans are absolute trash. I was on their TikTok, Barstool TikTok page getting harassed by a bunch of 10-year-olds just for cheering for the Pirates. Those fans are the absolute worst. So regardless of sports, yeah, there certainly is a rivalry and extends to baseball, and that's just how I see it.
All right, thank you, Steve. Malzy has shown up from his big tailgate where he's been drinking since 2 p.m.
Oh, yeah.
Malzy, care to comment on that whole idea that this is not with Philly? The rivalry is not just Penguins-Flyers. It extends to everything. We hate Philly.
Penn's Flyers is by far the worst. I know Pittsburgh fans who actually cheer for the 76ers.
We had Jeff in South Park just say that exact thing.
They like Joel Embiid, and they made fun. They lived and died with Ben Simmons, mostly died because he sucked. I think Penn's Flyers is very real. I went to one Penguins Flyers game in Philly wearing a Talbot jersey, and that was the only time I got MF'd
by
people.
So Steelers fans would feel safe in Philly for an Eagles game?
No, I don't know. I mean, that's just a football crowd. I think you know how football crowds generally are. Pirates-Phillies, I think, is easily, though, the most pleasant of the two. Now, that wasn't the truth. If Dunlap's listening, you know, he'll say NL East, baby, and then he'll talk about the Mets and Phillies, but...
It's not the Mets and Phillies, Malzi.
Well, no, he'll talk about being rivals with the Mets and Phillies because of it. He'll say he hate, you know, the thing you can't say about the Mets, blah, 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 all those inverted letters. I think this is the friendliest rivalry. I mean, my table out there is...
Well, congratulations on all your success for getting one.
...is mixed company. It's Pirates and Phillies fans.
Ugh.
Yeah. Pony, 1 foot away from an ace today at Quicksilver. Rolled the ball. The ball rolled across.
The summer of Malzi continues.
The ball rolled across like the front of the hole and might have missed by about 2 inches going in.
We had someone call in and say that they felt like you took mulligans and moved the ball around at Oakmont. Would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, it was as 88 as honest as it could possibly be. It was the most honest 88 of all time.
No winter rules or anything
like
that?
No, you can't play winter rules. It's summer. Have you looked at the calendar?
Well, I know, I'm just saying there was an accusation that got made, so
putts,
I need to be fair.
All putts were finished out. No. All putts were finished out. Even conceded putts, I putted for score purposes. So everything that was conceded for the purposes of the match, I said, thank you for giving it to me. The pressure might be off a little bit, but I still got to go make the putt.
So do you think you'll play Oakmont again this summer?
No, I think that's it. I don't know if I'll ever play Oakmont again, period. I think I got maybe one more in me, I hope.
All right. For a lot of Pirates fans, it has been hard on the heart to watch some of these outfielders like Jack Sawinski strike out or Michael A. Taylor hit below 200. And by the way, your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened. That music means it's time for a Bucko Minute. That clip that you heard, it was hard for me to hear it because I'm at Mike's Beer Bar and it is packed here. That was from the biggest Marlins insider. That's not really a robust market, but there's one guy that's carved out that niche, and his name is Craig Mish. And he came on during our deadline debate segment and said, exploratory talks between the Pirates and Marlins for one Jazz Chisholm, as we are 11 days away from the deadline. And then we had Greg Brown come on and say he thinks it would make sense for the Pirates to at least talk to teams about trading Henry Davis to get help to assist this team make the playoffs right now. Dan Zangrilli is over at PNC Park getting ready to give us pregame coverage of Pirates and Phillies to kick off the second half of the season. Dan, I will concede to you right now and give you the floor, your thoughts on all of that.
Yeah, I would absolutely look at moving Davis. I would maybe even look at moving Key Brian Hayes. I would trade some pitching depth from within the organization, though I heard you mention Bubba Chandler would be on the table for you. No, he would not be for me. So
why? Because you want to make sure you have a good fourth starter for the next 2 or 3 years?
And who said he was going to be that, and why would you think he would be that?
Well, tell me the Pirate starter that he leapfrogs in the next 2 or 3 years.
Okay, so even though I'm going to consider him maybe a number three starter on this particular staff, I would say
Jones?
That he may... Yeah, probably.
Wow.
Yeah, probably. He's really good. And just because he might be a four here doesn't mean that he would be a four elsewhere.
In Altoona. He had an ERA in the fours in Altoona up until like 2 weeks ago. He's not exactly
setting
the world on fire there.
Right.
Pitching in Binghamton.
And you would have said the same. You would have said the same thing about Jared Jones last year.
I agree with that, no doubt.
So things change, stuff changes, profiles change. Just because he's a four here doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a four elsewhere. He probably is more of a three or a two on any other big league bona fide staff. Would you have traded Jared Jones to the Marlins this past offseason when there was all that talk about the Pirates getting a bona fide controllable arm? There were a number that Miami was throwing out there. Well, no, that would have been a silly move if you would have made that in the offseason. So, no, Chandler is about the only no-fly zone for me. And listen, you know it as well as I do. Major League depth is so important. The Pirates are rolling with about 7 right now, and that's the only reason why they are maybe in position to do anything of substance here in the second half.
Well, the only reason why they're in position to not make the playoffs, though, Dan, is because their offense has been such a joke. Every time I turn on a postgame show where they lose, you scream about how they're up there in quality starts. Only the Phillies are ahead of them, and yet here they are at exactly 500. When you've got almost 40 quality starts, you should be 10 or 15 games over 500. You got pitching out your anus, and you've got, like, no bats. You're near the bottom in OPS, up in the top of strikeouts. You're the bottom in average. You need hitters, Dan. So I will give up some starting pitching for hitters.
Right. And I think they have enough of it to give up without having to, you know, give up their best one. So that's where I am. That's why I would move Mike Burrows. That's why I would move Thomas Harrington. Hunter Barco, kid that just got promoted to Double A Altoona, he's highly thought of. Carlson Reed in the lower levels of the minor leagues, they're on the table for me. Not so much Bubba Chandler. I'm going to have that
all right,
be
let's circle
my
back
own
to Key Brian Hayes. Let's go back to that. You're saying you would entertain a trade of Key Brian Hayes. Tell us why.
Absolutely, change of scenery. I'm not necessarily sure he embraces being a Bucko, much like Henry Davis. So those are two guys that I think that maybe it's best to move on and turn the page. We'll see. Hayes hit in the White Sox series, but then again, who didn't and who can't against that team? A really big month for Key Brian Hayes. Derek Shelton said as much. Really big for the team, that is. He would be to lengthen this lineup. I'm not necessarily confident that he's going to do that. And, of course, I'd love to get off that money if this is who he is and somebody else is foolish enough to take it. So, yeah, change of scenery for Henry Davis, and I threw Key Brian Hayes in the mix there as well.
All right, tell us what's going on with Skeens and Keller and why we're not getting either one of them in this series, Dan. What did Shelton tell you about that?
So basically, he didn't tell me. Noah was able to grab the question there. But I think it's what is blatantly obvious. You've got Mitch Keller in a position where he is leading the league or right there at the top of the league in innings pitched. We talk about workload management for Skeens and Jones. Why wouldn't Keller fall into this equation in the conversation, especially when he's been such a mule, such a donkey, such a workhorse? He matters too. He's actually the one with the actual risk on his head financially. So you can ill afford to lose him. Not to say that, you know, he couldn't handle the workload, but I'm okay with pausing him, skipping him, extending him just a little bit. Plus, and the same could be said with Skeens, who goes to the All-Star game, pitches the inning, has to do the whole travel stuff. Why wouldn't you want to line them up against St. Louis anyway?
I don't disagree with the Skeens point, and I honestly give them the benefit of the doubt on pitchers this year because they've gotten it right more than wrong. Look at Bailey Falter, for example, as one of those guys. We crushed them for that, and he's been good.
I'm mystified, Andrew, as to why anybody would be in an uproar with St. Louis coming to town. Why you
would
just...
Well, because with Keller, you could double dip. You could start him tonight, and you could get him on Wednesday against the Cardinals. That's the thing. That's the issue.
Sure.
Instead of having Martin Perez pitch twice, who stinks. Brownie scared me because he made it sound like he thinks Keller might have dead arm. That freaked me out, Dan. You do any sniffing around on dead arm with Keller?
You know that's fair. If you look at what happened, they gave him 8 days after the All-Star break last year, which he pitched in the game last year, you'll remember. 8 games, and he was really bad in July and August. So, you know, I don't know. There could be something to that if history repeats itself. It's something that I mentioned with Joe on Wednesday and Paul that, you know, everybody's banking on Mitch Keller. And, listen, he's been great. He's the veteran guy in that clubhouse, the leader of the pitching staff. You know, he really hasn't had a good second half in his career. Most of his good work at the big league level has been done in April, parts of it, but primarily May and June. July and August have been a bit of a grind, and he kind of rebounds in September. That's the book on Mitch Keller.
Dan, I know it's Yinzerpalooza night, and they're giving away Wiz Khalifa bobbleheads, and from what I've been told, it does not come with an ounce of marijuana. It's just a bobblehead. There's nothing added to it. There's no incense burning from it. It's just a straight-up bobblehead. So everyone's in a pro-Pittsburgh mindset with this game tonight and with this series. And David Bednar obviously embraces all those qualities, and we love that about him. But there is a rumor out of Baltimore that the Orioles would be willing to trade a top 20 prospect in all of baseball for David Bednar's services. And this guy apparently is a first baseman who's got like 20 home runs at AAA this year. Now, I don't want to trade David Bednar because I want this team to win this year. But, Dan, if that's really on the table, you got to think about making that trade, no?
Yeah, you absolutely do. And they may have been a little bit late as far as selling high on Bednar. I'm entertaining that all the live long day.
Dan, I will be listening on my way home from Mike's Beer Bar. Why didn't you stop by and do it live here at Mike's? Everyone's asking about you. The Jim Emmerlings of the world, the Mark Burgers, who, by the way, one of our traffic people thought that Mark Burger, our big sales guy, was you today.
Yeah,
he said, hey, Dan Zangrilli, come over here and check this out. And it was really a man in his mid-50s who was much bigger than you and with glasses. He thought that was you.
Tomato, tomato?
Yeah, in this person's case, I don't think there's a lot of tomatoes. And I think it's something else.
No. Mixing the salads.
All right, Dan. Great stuff, bro. We'll
All
be
right,
in touch.
You got it. See you.
Thanks, everybody, here at Mike's Beer Bar. We're wrapping things up. Talk to you Monday at 2 p.m. Team signing off.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.